thing right now that I need help with so
bad. You need help?
Yeah, I had a terrible realization on Monday night.
No.
For 15 years, I've had a jingle in my head. 15 years.
Like a short form song that they accompany an advertisement?
And like, I didn't realize how big of a deal it was until I started Googling it.
This is like Andy Bernard when he can't remember the Kit Kat song.
Yeah.
And he says football cream.
Football cream, yeah. What does that even mean, man?
Break me off a piece of that.
Fancy feast. You're just like, what?
Football cream. Football. Jim's like, nobody tell him.
It's so good. Okay, but so for 15 years, I've had the ability to... I'm like a jingle guy. I like them. They get caught in my head. I like to sing them. But for 15 years, I've had the Hootie and the Blowfish Tender Crisp Bacon Cheddar Ranch Burger King commercial in my head.
You said a lot of words I didn't know. Yeah, well,
Darius Rucker did a commercial in 2005 for Burger King about a new sandwich that they had released. And it's like, it's to the tune of Big Rock Candy Mountain. And so it's so interesting. Like, I've just always been able to recite it and sing the whole thing. Okay. I don't know why. If I pass a Burger King, it pops into my head. Like, I've never eaten one of the sandwiches. I go to Burger King, never. I don't know. It didn't have any effect on me as far as giving money, except that it just got stuck in my head for a long time. And I've sang it forever. And then the other night, Maddie and I were driving together, and I just started singing it out of the blue. I sang the whole thing. It's 30 seconds long, or it's like 22 seconds, because I timed myself. But I sang the whole thing, and she just started laughing. She's like, what the heck is that? And I said, look it up. It's called... the Burger King Tender Crisp Bacon Cheddar Ranch ad. And she looked it up and played the thing, and none of the words were the same. It wasn't even close.
What?
Key was right. Tempo was right.
Are you serious?
Tune was right. Melody. All of it was right.
You freestyled the lyrics?
Well, here's the thing. I freaked out. I was like, I thought I've had this right for years. Like, I couldn't figure it out. I went on a deep dive through Reddit. I Googled. I was like, there's got to be another version of this. They just haven't. And I couldn't find anything.
Wow.
I spent 2 days on it. I texted my childhood best friend.
This is the guy that ran into the fire hydrant in the
store. Yeah. I texted him. I was like, dude, do you remember that commercial? He's like, yeah, big time. Because, I mean, like, he lived across the street from me. So we spent every waking moment together, right? Like, it was just like, I'm going to get up. I'm going to go to his house. We're going to watch TV.
You guys sang the Big Rock Candy Mountain.
Yeah, so burger. It's like, if anyone knows that, because I texted D-Rod, and he was like, I've never heard that song. And I was trying to figure everything out. I was trying to figure out where this came from. And I texted him, and I was like, yeah, dude, like, apparently none of the lyrics I had in my head were right. And he like, screenshot the lyrics. He was like, hey, this is what I remembered. And I was like, I texted him every lyric. Yeah. And I said, this is what I remember. And he said, oh my gosh, I just sang it. That's exactly right.
What?
Yeah, he was like, I just sang those. I knew it. And I was like, thank you. And he was like, I'm going to spend the rest of my day trying to find this out.
For people that are not experiencing the freak out you are right now, like, imagine if you think of like your favorite like TV show theme song, and like you're like, from my childhood, it would be like somebody started singing the Fresh Prince and all the lyrics were different. Mm-hmm. But it was the exact same beat, the exact same, like, now this is a story, all but like totally different lyrics, or like the Full House theme. Whatever happened to predictability? Like,
yeah.
But you went and found the original version on YouTube, and it was all different lyrics.
Right. So
that's
like,
what you're experiencing.
Yeah. But here's the thing. That commercial, like the one you would find on YouTube, it's like borderline, it's pretty inappropriate. It's weird. I don't know how it was on TV. Like, I didn't realize that.
Like, it wasn't a Hardee's commercial, though.
Not quite, but this was like a precursor to that. Like, it was like, this is weird. But, like, it's clearly humorous. Like, the lyrics are silly. Like,
they broke the greasy glass ceiling to...
Yeah, so, like, but my version makes perfect sense.
Wow.
Like... If you read the lyrics, you'd be like, this is goofy. And then if you read my lyrics, you'd be like, this makes perfect. They're goofy.
This is about
the rhyming sequence, everything. It's like, how? But they're not anywhere close.
Will you sing it?
No.
Why?
Because it's kind of inappropriate.
Oh, that's right.
But I'll sing it to anyone who texts me. And I'm dying. I'm dying to find out if I just made this up. Like, I'm just like, we're... were me and my friend just throwing football one day and we were making up our own version of it? Is that what happened?
Like a silly, inappropriate.
But it's not, it's not like that inappropriate.
Yeah.
Like you wouldn't be like, come on, dude. Like I could sing it on here. It'd be fine. It's just like, well, this is weird.
I have no idea why you called D-Rod about it.
Yeah, he's not good at lyrics at all.
No. Like,
maybe subconsciously is what I wanted to do.
Yeah, what was like, what are some of the classics from?
Well,
like,
we sing Break of songs. Day here at church and yeah. He's always thought it was Break of Dawn.
Break of Dawn.
And the freaking words are on the screen.
We were at summer camp one time. I think this was it. Was this Carolina Point or Sharp Top? Where
probably Carolina Point.
I think where everybody starts, like it wasn't even on the speakers. Everybody just started singing, "Country roads take me home to the place where I belong, West Virginia." And D-Rod just at the top of his voice, like, "Mountain llamas."
He hits it hard and so confidently.
I mean, but he's deadly serious about that. Although it's like with him, you never know if it's a bit.
Yeah,
you never know. Yeah, but that's the last guy you want to text about lyrics, the correct lyrics to a song.
Well, I don't know.
Like his stamp of approval on lyrics.
Yeah, it's
a stamp trip.
Yeah, thank you. I met your mother. That's perfect. That's a great. That's exactly who he is.
He's Marshall Erickson.
Yeah.
You can't trust his recommendation on anything.
Ted's in the background. He's just a day late on everything.
watching the old videos of himself from college.
What's the band that they're talking
Dishwalla.
About? Yeah, Dishwalla. They have this really cool song where they talk about God being a woman. Lily's in the background. That's so funny. Man. But no, seriously.
Yeah.
If someone out there remembers that song and they're like, hey, like, I just don't know. Like,
from the Burger King advertisement.
It's so funny because there was a podcast episode. I don't know if it was Radiolab. What was it?
Reply All.
It was Reply All where they did this. I listened to it like 3 months ago. I feel weird. I'm subconsciously just doing this.
This podcast episode is an example of a phenomenon that happens where a group of people as a group remember something that never existed.
Right.
And like when everybody incorrectly remembered that Nelson Mandela was dead when he wasn't, everybody thought he had died. Like everybody thought that, like and they would like look it up online and freak out cause they didn't, or everybody remembered a movie that the comedian Sinbad made in the 90s that he never made. But like people my age all remember it. We all remember this movie that Sinbad made, even though he never actually made it. So now you're caught in that vortex. Yeah. Either that or just as a 12-year-old kid, you made up some raunchy lyrics to a commercial.
They're not raunchy. Okay, I'm just going to sing it.
Go.
I can't look at you into this. This is too weird. So like the full video is a minute long. The version I timed myself yesterday, it's right at 30 seconds. So it would make sense that it's a shortened version that they showed on a commercial.
Yeah.
And that's what my friend, he was like, dude, I bet it's just a short version that hasn't made it to the internet, which I'm like, that's not possible. I've typed this word for word in Google and nothing showed up. Maddie was like, are you kidding me? You're typing every word. It's so weird. It's so weird.
Let's do the show.
Okay, yeah, let's do the show.
This is Ancient and New. This is a Bible study podcast, ostensibly. We're going to talk about some scriptures that have been kind of highlighting our week. And the cool thing about these scriptures is that like you look them up and they're still there.
Mm.
Like just
yeah, what I didn't the words make these are supposed up.
To, yeah. You want to kick us off?
Yeah, it's my turn. It is.
You have a strong sense of justice about who goes first on these episodes.
I have a strong sense of justice, I believe. Sometimes I wonder if I should have been a lawyer.
And routine,
yeah. I thought you said Andrew Teen. I don't know who that is.
Uh-oh, this is not helping your case about the commercial if you thought I said Andrew Teen.
You're right. Today I'm calling Burger King's marketing department. I've already decided.
You're like, I'm the head of marketing for Hackney Petroleum.
Yeah. Yeah,
so it's like professional to professional.
Yeah, they'll know. Okay, so
Where are you?
Job again. Sticking with Job. This is a hard turn right here. I'm still trying to come down off the fact that I.
Everything's fine.
Oh man. Shoot. But this is so interesting. I've just I've just loved the book of Job because, man, like the more you get into it, the more you realize he is just like adamant about his stance and what he believes and what he feels and what he believes about the Lord and what he believes about him, himself. It's just, it's impressive because his friends are just pelting him with stuff and he's sitting on a pile of ash covered in scabs and grossness and he's just
scraping his boils with broken pottery.
Yeah. Oh, it's so gross. But he's just, he's so bold. I was so appreciative of him. So here we go. This is from Job 23. I'm going to start in verse 8. And he says, "But if I go to the east, he is not there. If I go to the west, I do not find him. When he is at work in the north, I do not see him. When he turns to the south, I catch no glimpse of him. But he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I will come forth as gold."
Wow.
Yeah, so interesting. I think the first, my first time reading that, I was like, I know the feeling of feeling like I'm like physically looking for God, like, and spiritually, just like, where are you? Where are you right now? What are you doing?
Yeah.
Are you paying attention to me? Do I matter? If I go here, will I find you? If I do this, will I find you? If I, whatever. Like, I think we all know that feeling. I think it's one of those, like, it's one of those things where I think we have to get better at, as Christians, the idea that God would leave us and not be with us. Because sometimes it really feels like it, but it's not true.
Yeah,
God doesn't, he doesn't leave us. He's not, there are times when it's so hard to hear him and it feels like he's left us because things suck or the whatever. And I love, like, and then I just get the feeling that Job is like trying to, you know, he's like, man, I feel like I'm searching everywhere for him right now. I'm looking everywhere. I'm searching so hard. I can't do it, whatever the thing is. And he flips the thing around. He goes from, I don't find him, I catch no glimpse, but he knows the way I take.
Wow.
You know, it's so cool.
Yeah.
It's so cool. That's, it's awesome. Like, man, I'm searching so hard, but he's never forgotten me. Mm. He knows exactly what I'm doing. He knows exactly where I'm going. And when I come out of this, I'm going to be gold. It's so cool. It's such a beautiful thought. I mean, the dude who's going through the hardest struggle ever is like, man, I'm going to be gold. I'm just going to be gold.
Wow.
And I love the idea that, like, in the moments, because they're very real, when I feel like I'm looking for the Lord, I'm just searching for him. I'm searching for him spiritually. I have, like, gotten so far into my routine that I miss him because I've just cut this rut that I do every day. Or, you know, something's not going my way. Something's hard. Something, you know, something's going on. And I'm just like, where are you, God? Where are you in all this? And the idea that he knows exactly where I am is so comforting. And I love that Job said that.
Job's fascinating to me because in many ways, I feel like I'm like the complete opposite of him. Like, I don't think in the Lord's game of chess against the enemy, I never would have been the person that he chose. Like, have you considered my servant Lee? And the enemy's like, are you joking? And the Lord's like, yeah, you're right. But like, let's move on to this other guy. But also, like, the thing that Job starts out this chapter with is like, he says, if only I knew where to find him, if only I could go to his dwelling, I would state my case before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would find out what he would answer me and consider what he would say to me. Would he vigorously oppose me? No, he would not press charges against me. I'm like, it's again what we were talking about last week of like, how do you know that? How do you know the stuff that you know?
Yeah.
But also, like, how are you so bold that you're like, somebody show me the GPS directions to God's house. I will go there. I will bang on the door. Whereas, like, I feel much more like Adam in Genesis 3, like, hiding behind the bushes, like, please don't find me.
Yeah, for sure.
And so this is just, it's so fascinating. There's something that he understands because he doesn't, like, the argument of Job in the book of Job is not that he's going to be gold because he's perfect.
Exactly.
He does not come at this by saying, I'm not a sinner, right, or I've never done anything wrong.
Right.
He comes at this saying, like, I know that what's happening to me is not a direct punishment for something that I did.
Exactly.
I know that God somehow is mediating between the two of us. I know that somehow I have a redeemer. Mm-hmm. Like, the things that he knows are not different than the things I know, exactly, about my relationship with the Lord.
Right.
It's not that Job's saying, I've been perfectly faithful and I have been perfectly sinless.
Right.
And so therefore there is no reason, you know, that's not what he's saying. Mm-hmm. He's saying there's a mediator, there's a redeemer. And I will stand based on those things. And he's so confident. Basically, he's so confident about the gospel, which is like, oh my word. I mean, can you imagine what this dude would have been like if he had had the New Testament?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
if somebody time traveled and took him, just dropped off the Gospel of John to this guy, mm-hmm, and let him peruse it, what would that guy be like?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how confident, how bold, how hilarious would that guy be, mm-hmm, if he had a day and a half just to read through the Gospel of John? Yeah, so I just, it's his confidence, but not his confidence in his perfection, but his confidence in the gospel, mm-hmm, that just, it just blows my head up.
Yeah. I love this because I often find myself, like I have in my whole adult life, just, where are you, God? Where are you? Where are you? What are you doing in this? Where are you? Why can't I find you? And it's just like, it's kind of like, it's a feeling that can be very real. And when you're in the middle of that, when you're in the middle of a season like that, it's a sucky feeling. Yeah. It sucks. And then I can't, which is, I don't think God holds this over me in any way, but I just feel silly when I get out of it. I'm like, I feel so silly when I get out of a season like that. And I feel super, I'm reminded of how much the Lord loves me and how near he is to me.
Yeah.
And how much he knows me and how he's never left me. Cause I'm just like, man. And I don't think it comes from a place of shame. I think it's just like that's so silly that I thought that.
Yeah.
How did you get there? Like, it's so funny. I love that. That's Job's cool. The man.
I want to look at something in Acts chapter 19. And whenever
what if the lyrics are in here and I'm just just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Oh my gosh. I love the idea that somebody listening to this remembers the ad exactly as you do.
What's the hope?
And that they're just like sitting there listening to this like, guys, I got it. Yeah. Me too. Every time I read the book of Acts, there's always these moments of like, dang, it was crazy back in those days. Like, Christianity was wild in the book of Acts.
It's so cool.
Yeah, like there's, so the precursor to the verse I want to share, Acts chapter 19, Paul leaves Corinth and goes to Ephesus. He goes to Ephesus, he's teaching in a synagogue. He winds up spending, I believe it's like 3 months, yes. He spoke boldly about Jesus for 3 months in their synagogue. People are coming to know Jesus, all this kind of thing. You know, some people are opposing, some people are into it, this whole deal. And there's this guy who was like a Jewish chief priest named Sceva, and he had 7 sons. And they were seeing all the stuff that Paul was doing. Like, people were being healed. Evil spirits were being cast out of people. It was wild times. And they were like, dang, we're loving this message of Jesus. We should go crack down on some evil spirits as well. So there's this guy that's like, he's like this demonized dude. And these seven dudes, like they go to confront and approach this guy and kick this evil spirit out of him. And they say, in the name of Jesus, who Paul preaches, get out of this guy. And the demon speaks back to these guys and says this wild thing. He says, I know Jesus and I've heard of Paul, but who are you?
Hmm.
And then this dude proceeds to kick the crap out of them. Like all 7 of them, they run out of the house naked and bleeding. with their having had their tails kicked, which like there's a lot of interesting things in that, you know, just like, I know Jesus, I've heard of Paul. It's like, dang, have a reputation again, you know, with the enemy's punks, but like super, super cool. But right after that, it says, so that, that little thing happens with the seven sons. In verse 17, Luke says this, when this became known to the Jews and Greeks living in Ephesus, they were all seized with fear, and the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor. And that arrested me for a couple of reasons. I think, like for a real specific reason and a more broad reason. One, when I compare what it looks like for the people in my believing community to know Jesus to like what it was when I was a little kid, I like the direction it's taking. I like the informality of friendship that comes with just walking with Jesus, being who you are, being honest, being humble, like just speaking the way you speak, praying the way you speak, all of those things. Like, I love that informality. I love the familiarity of like people just being themselves. I think that there's an authenticity about a relationship with Jesus like that, that is so, so good. And I think that sometimes the formality of what it meant to be a Christian when I was a kid growing up in the church I did, it brought, I think, a lot of room for inauthenticity, for some stuff that was pretty fraudulent. It definitely was that in my life, in my case. But there was something that called to me in this idea of like the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor. Like, the thing that it made me think of was like when someone who doesn't need to calls you sir, and you know, and you're like, you don't have to call me sir, but like you're trying to show me that you respect me. And like, you are, maybe you're creating some distance, but like there's a respect here, there's an honor. And I think in my life there was just a you know, that tuning fork moment of like, you know what I mean by that? Like when you, like people talk about like something happens and it resonates inside your spirit that like, that's right. That's good. That's true. It's not a dissonant tone. It's like the tone inside me is resonating with this moment. And when I read that scripture, it did that in me of like, I think it's good to have some, I think it's good to be authentic. I think it's good to be relaxed. I think it's good to be familiar with the Lord Jesus and our friendship. And also, he is the Lord God Almighty. And it would be appropriate for me and for everyone I know, like it would be appropriate for us to be sure that we hold him in high honor. If anybody deserves to be called sir, if anybody deserves to have honor, it's him. And so like, you know, there's just like in our community, there's just like there's a tendency to like, when we pray like, hey God, here's what's happening. And it's like, I think there's some things about that are really good. Also like, it'd probably be good for us to exercise a little more honor.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Cause the first place I went when I was, when you read that was Philippians 2 chapter, you know, verse 12. Therefore, my dear brothers, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose.
Right.
And I actually read that this morning. That's when you read that. It's funny. It popped straight in my head. I was like, I know it's in Philippians too. And I don't think we think about the idea of fearing God enough, you know? Which like, it's so funny. I think we hear that today and we're like, why should we fear God? What do you mean? That can't mean that, you know, it can't mean that. Like you growing up in our area of the world, you often hear the fear of God. Like, I'm going to put the fear of God in you, boy, you know, like stuff like that.
It's always followed with the word boy.
Yeah, boy. Like, and I'm like, it's so funny to hear that. And that's laughable. You're like, no. You mean you're gonna spank me? That's what you mean. That's not the fear of God.
There's going to be violence involved.
Right. Like if I don't clean my, I'm acting like my parents have said this. They never have, but I'm just picturing like a dad whose son didn't clean his room.
My dad has definitely said that.
Right. Like my parents have never said that to me and I'm really thankful for it. But that's what people equate it with is like, I'm going to beat the fire out of you. And it's like, God could easily, you know, he could easily. Praise the Lord. He says that he never will snuff us out. He'll never he will not break, but you know, a smoldering wick, he will not snuff out. Like at any point though, I'm thankful that that promise is there because he won't
turn the whole place into ash.
Yeah. At any point though, he could destroy me. He could flick me farther than a paper football, you know, just like I was, and I could go flying through the Arctic and die, you know, like that is very possible.
That was so vivid.
Yeah, it's very. I had that image of him just going.
You could flick me like a paper football,
and then just I land in some polar bear's mouth and save its life. That's what I pictured.
Save its life.
Yeah, because it's dying of starvation because the ice caps are melting and it has to swim everywhere. But
you'd be a big meal for a polar bear.
Yeah, he'd be happy. He'd be happy. A tall meal.
Yeah, the legs, not so much meat
there. Right. But like the idea, it's so funny because of the way the idea, the fear of God is put into our head. And, you know, like, and also the idea that we shouldn't fear him, which I think we totally should in a way, because he is the one who's at work in us. He's the one who created us. He's the one who created this whole thing. He is big and powerful and holy and so righteous and mighty. And because of that, there's a lot of times when I need to say that to him more than I do.
There's a,
you know,
it's like if you got like, I mean, the image in scripture is like the way Peter talks about it is like, you should live your lives here in reverent fear.
Yeah.
Because you get to call the judge of all the earth dad. Mm. And like, if your dad was the Sultan of Bahrain, you know, it's like, it's powerful. Everybody cows down to him. You know, it's like rich, like can do whatever he wants. You know, like he just can hire fire, just build up and destroy at a whim. And if you're the one that gets to call him dad, it's like, yeah, you get to climb up in his lap and run into his bedroom at 3 a.m. and wake him up and everything. Nobody else can do that without their life ending. But like, you get to do that. But you need to recognize what you have. And so that's the image of scripture is like, the other image I got was like, if you're like the childhood best friend of somebody who rises up to become like a mafia boss, you know, it's like you're on the inner circle. And so like you're protected and everything. But
it's because you shared cereal when you were seven.
Yeah, this dude just whimsically takes people out.
Right.
You know, and like, you know, and so, but we played pickup basketball when we were six.
Right.
And we watched Saturday morning cartoons together over a bowl of Cap'n Crunch. And so like, I'm good. But right. But I recognize what you are.
Right.
Which the Lord is not whimsically dangerous or anything like that.
Right.
The Lord is slow to anger and kind and compassionate. This is what he says about himself. But like, yeah, to hold. And I think the thing I want to carry into my day is like, he calls me in John 15, his friend.
Mm-hmm.
And I get to be his friend and I do get to be informal and I do get to be myself. But I want to hold that as a privilege that comes not from me, but comes from his generosity, because in high honor, this is the King of Kings.
Right.
This is the Lord God over all the earth. This is the one who will dash the nations like pottery, and the earth will be his footstool, you know? And so like, and yet he, at the break of dawn, he would say to me, "Hey pal, you catch any fish?"
Yeah.
It's like, "Hey, what's up, man?" Like that's the way he treats me.
Right.
But I want to hold him in that kind of honor.
I know. I think it's so, I think I take my salvation for granted a lot.
Sure.
Not the idea that I'm going to lose it. You know, that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying like it's gone. Like I could lose it. But I am saying like, it's exactly what we're talking about. I don't know. how often or if enough I am aware of what it means that I'm eternally saved.
Right.
And the price that Jesus paid for me, you know, all that lumped together.
Right.
You know, everything you just said, I'm like, gosh, yes, yes. That is like striking a gong in my heart right now. Mm-hmm. That's so cool.
If the gong struck in the exact key of the jingle, would you be able to sing it for us?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, I'm gonna avert my eyes.
It's a little weird.
Okay.
I'm also like picturing, I'm like, did I make this up?
I'll picture the sandwich. Is Darius Rucker physically in the commercial?
Yeah, he's playing a guitar in like a cowboy hat in this like Wizard of Oz looking scene. I remember it so clearly. Like when I saw the commercial, I was like, that is it. But yeah. Then the song, I was like, that's not it. It was so weird. Okay, it goes, I love the tender crisp bacon cheddar ranch. The breasts are made of chicken. They're big and plump and juicy. And to their ribs, they're sticking. When Burger King made it, they really weren't messing. They even put some bacon in the creamy ranch dressing. It's not so much a sandwich as it really is a blessing. That's the tender crisp bacon cheddar ranch.
Oh, wow. That is a little on the, we're dancing.
It's weird. Yeah, it's weird. Like, I don't think 11-year-old me would have come up with that.
Or would he?
I don't think so. Like,
but if you did, like the rhyme scheme's really strong.
Yeah. Yes. That's what I'm saying.
The stick in line.
Yes.
To the ribs, they're sticking.
Yeah. Yeah. That's weird. Like I don't.
The bacon in the dressing. That was a.
I would not have had the idea of chicken breast sticking to the ribs of a chicken like that. That I'm like, that's some marketing guy in Darius Rucker. Like, yeah, this is funny.
Yeah, Darius Rucker didn't have anything to do with it. He just got paid, boy.
Yeah, he made lots of money for. Like, I think, yeah, it's. I feel so weird that I sang that.
I'm so glad that happened. I don't think we're gonna be able to top that. I'm Lee.
I'm ashamed.
This has been Ancient and New.
Take a walk on the wild side. It'll ease your mind. I hope that you'll find me there. Take a walk on the bright side and try to be kind. I hope that you'll find me there. Breathe in the air and give a little what you want the most and try not to boast. I hope that you'll find me there. Oh, I hope that you'll find me there. Breathe in the air and when you're beaten down and looking around for something to hold on. What you want the most is someone to hold you and feel your heart beating. Just take a walk on the wild side. It'll ease your mind. I hope that you'll find me there. Oh, I hope that you'll find me there.